Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Dorsey Wright podcast for the week of July 26, 2021. I'm Jay Gragnani, and here joining me this week is Will Gibson. Will, great to have you on again this week.
Thanks, Jay. Appreciate it.
And thank you all for taking the time to join us for the podcast this week and all weeks. We appreciate you taking the time. And one thing that we wanted to do this week is talk a little bit about some weakness that we're seeing and interesting action that we've seen recently, specifically within the energy space. Before we do that, I think it's certainly important to understand the backdrop. And we've coming off another week in the markets where the S&P 500 continues to push to new all-time highs. The S&P 500, even Monday as we're recording this, continuing to push a little bit higher on the point and figure chart, closing yet another box at 4420. And a lot of the strength here recently out of the S&P 500 and a lot of the major market averages have been led by the larger cap stocks that have seen a resilience and a resurgence come back really in the second quarter of 2021. And now headed into the third quarter, almost wrapping up the first month of that in July, as well as some of the growth oriented sectors. There was a very big rotation that we saw towards the end of last year, beginning of this year, where value and small cap came back into favor for quite some time and saw some pretty meaningful outperformance above large cap and growth. And we've seen signs of that dynamic changing here underneath the surface, especially from a sector perspective. Well, when you look at just the S&P 500, the largest single largest sector is technology, which certainly is a very much a growth oriented sector. It accounts for about 25% of the movement of the S&P 500. And, over the course of the past month, technology, along with real estate, healthcare, have been the best performing sectors out there in the marketplace. And, really over the course of the past week, we saw that trend continue as the more growth oriented areas were outperforming sectors like communication services, consumer discretionary, technology, right up there at the top of the performers over the course of the past week. One of the notable areas, though, if you just look over the course of the past month and you look across some of the individual charts within the space, we've seen a fair amount of weakness from a number of stocks within the energy sector, which while we've seen that on the individual charts, just doesn't have the impact, just doesn't have the weight inside the S&P 500 as, say, something like technology does, as energy is only 2 or 3% of the S&P 500 versus something like 25% that technology is. So, technology and those growth, big, large cap growth stocks are really have the ability to sway the movement in the market, where energy, if you get weakness in there, you don't necessarily always see that shine through. And so, Will, as we're kind of looking at some of these energy names, it's been interesting to look at just the dynamic where what we've seen with the equities in the energy space as well as with the commodities.
Yeah, Jay, absolutely. And I think on that point, it's interesting to see that the equity side or that those equities tied to energy have certainly had a rougher go of it than the commodity itself. So looking at the continuous chart, if you're listening to this or watching on YouTube, we're going to put up a chart of this, but the crude oil front month chart, after seeing a sell-off from multi-year highs at $75, you pulled back to about 67 and have since actually rebounded up higher, which created a higher bottom at 67. So that continuous chart remains on three consecutive point and figure buy signals, still in a notable uptrend here. Whereas, like Jay was saying, a lot of those energy equity names have given consecutive sell signals, lower tops. Some are fighting with their positive trend lines or even established negative trend lines at this point. So they definitely took it on the chin worse than the commodity itself. And something else that I wanted to note is that, like you said, relative to the benchmark or relative to your S&P, it's very easy to overweight energy because of its small exposure and because it accounts for so little of the movement. in your broad market. And a lot of our models on the platform, they're trend following, they're momentum driven, using relative strength to access that momentum factor. And we've watched a lot of these models this year, Jay, kind of shimmy back and forth between growth and value in a lot of different ways. And you've also seen them do some notable sector rotation. And specifically as it relates to energy lately, you've seen a few models reduce their exposure to energy. We're seeing a couple that could be reducing their exposure here shortly should things continue as they are. And one thing I do want to say about this is that sometimes, given the relative strength process, you'll get an entrenchment, meaning after you get a really strong move upward for a sector or for an asset class on these relative strength charts, you get a very entrenched signal. And then if you get a really sharp pullback the other direction, like what happened in energy, you may have to take a bit more downside in order to get out of that position, unless you get some lateral volatility, and then you can generate a higher sell signal and get out sooner. But in some of the models that we've seen, the velocity of the acceleration or the velocity of the energy sector, like we said, still the best performing on the year. That's propelled a lot of these models to still be overweight relative to the benchmark. And despite the recent weakness, most of them are still overweight, again, relative to your S&P 500 with your energy exposure, despite the fact that it's lost about 30 signals in our DALI asset level investing tool, the most of really any other sector. And as well as, like what Jay, you were saying, just that pronounced growth theme as of late, which the sector really hasn't been able to participate on by an active or even generate some of the passive flows from there.
Yeah, it's interesting. You mentioned the DALI sector rankings. I mean, energy for the vast majority of this year has been a sector that has been within the top three of the sector rankings. And still on a year-to-date basis, as we're looking at this, energy is still the best performing sector despite the near-term volatility. However, what we've now seen is for the first time basically all year since early January is energy is no longer ranked within the top three of the DALI sector rankings. And, you know, that is just, I would put that in the, here's another piece of evidence that energy is beginning to weaken from a relative strength perspective. And then a second piece of that from a more absolute perspective is if you look at the percent positive trend indicator for energy, that chart had been very strong, as you know, for the vast majority of this year into last fall, was just steadily rising as more and more energy stocks were participating in the rally, more and more stocks were moving into positive trends. It got as high as 60% recently and has now reversed into O's. So we're still above 50%, but marginally. We're at 54% right now. If you see that dip below 50, that would be another negative sign for the sector. So right now, we're basically sitting in a position with energy where there's still some good looking names, still some healthy names and positive trends and strong attribute stocks. But for every one of those, there's basically one that is in a negative trend. And so that's when you're thinking about the energy exposure today, for those, especially within the individual equities, that's something that you need to be sure you're taking action on. If you're seeing stocks violate trend lines, be sure to take some defensive action on those names. With that said, and Will, I think you alluded to it earlier, you know, the technical picture on commodities themselves, whether it's crude oil, you mentioned reversing back up to make a higher bottom, natural gas continues to actually push to new highs as recently as last Friday. So, you know, the picture within the commodity market is certainly a little bit different today as it relates to the broader all energy space.
It does. Yeah. And that's something different than at least I was expecting in the current environment. And specifically as it relates to crude and what could be moving that price going forward, OPEC, usually their announcements inflict a fair amount of volatility in the space. It tends to be very sensitive to comments, especially right now as it relates to supply, the supply side of the equation with the reopening economy, with a changing workforce, changing demographics, a lot of moving parts that are taking place right now. There's the inflation rhetoric going on as well. And people look to the commodities market to try to get a pulse sometimes for what's going on. But as it relates to oil or crude specifically, And just noting that OPEC last week did say that they're going to raise their daily production by 400,000 barrels, and that's through the end of September 2022. And according to them, it says that aligns with their forecast for world oil demand recovering by year end 2022. And following that, that's where you saw that deep sell-off on that on the crude chart falling. Is actually about over 7.5%, which is their worst day since like early 2020. And most of that was attributed to a potential for a slowed economic recovery with some of the Delta variant news, as well as just more demand coming online. Jane, I think the commodities market beautifully pictures and details the rules of supply and demand that govern prices here. You see more supply coming back online, same amount of expected demand, you see a pullback in prices. Whereas the flip side, where you see demand notably outpacing supply, whether it's natural gas, whether it's carbon credits, whether it's demand for gasoline, crude, you name it, the supply and demand dynamics seem to be very sensitive in the commodities market, especially right now. And it seems very tangible. We've talked about the concept of just tangibility of the markets right now lately for equities, for commodities, and especially commodities right now. It seems very sensitive, and these news headlines tend to be affecting markets very closely as it relates to their supply and demand.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And you know, as we move through this week, there's no lack of headlines and news to come out, not necessarily specifically as it relates to commodities or OPEC announcements. But there are a number of your mega cap, large cap tech names announcing earnings this week, as well as FOMC meeting happening this week, too. So as we move through the week, be sure to keep an eye on the charts. Keep an eye on, you know, how the market's reacting to a lot of the news. Oftentimes it's not, you know, the news, but how it's being reacted to. And that's what we're most interested in when we're looking at the technical pictures, whether it's a trending perspective or relative strength perspective. So with that said, we'll leave you with that this week. Appreciate your time and listening to us, and look forward to talking to you next week.